little horse from Three Straight Days of Talking.
Hi, this is Graham Thickens, and I'm in downtown Minneapolis at the Hyatt with a couple of great out-of-town guests that we're lucky enough to have with us here today. I'm with Robert Peace of GIST. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. Thanks for making the time today.
Robert, I should say, not Rob. And I'm with Jen Pitts.
Hi there.
Who is marketing and operations manager, and they traveled here from Seattle for an event that was going on here at the Hyatt. What was that about, Robert? Tell us what you were here for.
Yeah, so we were in town for the last couple days here for a summit of internet inside sales professionals. And this was sort of a gathering of people that do this every day that were coming together to learn about best practices and compensation models and also technologies. And so we are a technology that has a fit, and we got a bunch of users that are inside sales roles. So we came to town and talked a lot, and we gave a presentation on how to use social media for finding and closing business. So it was a good conversation and a great crowd on this end that all was very interested in learning. So it's a good use of a couple days.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, give us the big picture of what GIST is, maybe a little background on when the company formed,
sure.
Where you've come from, and where you're at now.
Yeah, so essentially GIST can take a list of contacts, right, people that are important to you, and that list can come from lots of places. It can come from your email inbox. It can come from a CRM system. It can come from a spreadsheet, whatever it might be. So then we take this list and we will go out onto the web and we will sort of aggregate and consolidate information about those people and their companies, sort of constantly looking it up and then serving it up for action, right? Whether that's someone got an award, someone got a promotion, somebody that you view as an influencer in your industry or whatever you do, posts something interesting to Twitter or writes a blog post or gets covered in the New York Times, giving yourself sort of that instant access to that information for you to act on it. Share it with your own people, follow up with that person directly, whatever it might be. The company itself, a couple years old, so we're still relatively young. The vision on it sort of started down the line of, if I have all these people and all these companies in my inbox, right, and it's dynamically changing, and they're in my inbox and they're on my calendar, you know, why can't I do a search on everybody there every day and surface out the most important information? And so that's sort of what got us down the road. And what we did is we built a web-based application that supports that. Well, we all already have ingrained habits and applications we use and places that we go. So what we've done is we have taken GIST and we've put it back to the places where people spend time already. So we work inside Microsoft Outlook. We have an Outlook plugin that you can download. We work inside Lotus Notes with a Lotus Notes plugin. About 35 million Lotus Notes users in the world. So,
wow.
So a pretty loyal and very, very smart group of people.
So you're going after the big enterprises too.
Well, they are, right. Yeah. The very few people that use Lotus Notes are small shops, and
right.
So you know, our view is that the enterprise inbox or inboxes in general are becoming more social, right? And so adding into the inbox information about the people you're interacting with, or that's sort of, you know, again, at your fingertips type information, is something core to our strategy. So that's sort of on the email application thing. Side of it. We've also built some mobile pieces. We have an iPhone application.
Which I have open right now.
Which you have open right now. Actually just releasing a new updated version of that here in the next couple days.
So, oh, good. Well, I thought I had I think I updated finally a week or so ago, but
yeah.
Now I have to go update again.
Yeah, we are. You know, we're very focused at GIST on iterating the products and getting them out there and hearing user feedback. So yeah, the app, the iPhone app is on the App Store and available for download. For free.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Android app that's in limited release, so if anybody listening to this and uses an Android, as I do, mm-hmm. we can set you up with that, and we'll release that publicly here probably in the next couple of weeks or so.
How many phones will it support?
Now
that there are 40-some, just wondering.
For Android?
Yeah.
So it'll support the Droid operating system.
Okay.
So it's not device-dependent.
Okay.
Some of the other platforms out there have nuances, but even BlackBerry has a lot of differences between different devices.
Yeah.
And so other mobile devices are definitely
So it should
Android.
Run on all Android phones.
Correct, yeah. You know, mobile, again, a big piece of where we view value in just information, right? So you're sitting in a lobby before you're about to sit down for a meeting, and you want to get the quick update on Graham, right? Okay, yep. What did you just post 12 seconds ago via Twitter, right? Or what did you write about, or where were you mentioned? Ultimately, what Gist is designed to do is to put all this information in your hands, to elevate your conversations, right? Have a more intelligent conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're trying to get a first meeting, whether you're just trying to figure out a better way to make a connection with somebody. And so a lot of what we have done here the past couple of days as it relates to sales focused a little more on our integration into CRM applications. Mm-hmm. So we work with Salesforce.com. And in that case, it's basically using Gist as overlay information around a lead or around a contact so that you have some context, which is a very important piece of the equation here, to reach out. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, that's kind of what we begin to talk about, what we do at Gist, is we get contacts, which is from the list, whether that's your inbox or that's, you know, your Twitter connection or your Facebook friends, whatever. There's a bunch of different places we can plug in. So that's the contacts part of the equation. We then wrap that with content. And so the content is both traditional and non-traditional news sources. So we bring in stuff from sources like PR Newswire and stuff that's being published out there, but we also bring in Twitter feeds, right? And we bring in blog posts and all this stuff. So you have a content blend, which is both news and information being published about people and companies, but also being published by them.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So you get this really interesting
piece. Yeah, when I'm scrolling through mine, I'm not often clear whether it's their own tweets or it's something, an article that's been, you know, like when I'm looking at Mark Zuckerberg stuff or something. I figure, well, it's probably not his own blog post, it's articles about him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So, but it'll name the source, right?
Yeah, down at the bottom, it'll tell you where it came from.
I guess you can tell that way pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does, and we also, by visual icon, we identify where it's come from, whether it's Twitter or it's an RSS feed or it's a news source, and you can actually toggle those on and off because sometimes Twitter can be too noisy or too much, and you can basically remove that from the view.
I see.
But yeah, but that's ultimately what we're trying to do, is sort of take the context, take the content, and then again, I'll go back to this all-important context, which is, if you think about how our Outlook plugin, our Microsoft Outlook plugin works, as you compose an email, and let's say I was sending you an email for the first time, right, and I write your email into the to field, well, the minute that that gets written in there, right, we're going to go out and we're going to try to find information about you.
Huh.
Okay, so even if I've never corresponded with you before, and you know, there's some assumption here that you are visible and available online, which you are very much, that I will have not only kind of a snapshot of you from a profile standpoint, but I'll have your most up-to-date news, and maybe you were covered in something, so maybe if I'm trying to figure out a way to get a meeting with you, I can take an article that just is served up, I can drag that and drop that into the email, so instead of just sending me, hey, checking in emails, that they all hate to send, I can say, let's get together when I'm in Minneapolis. We're coming in for this Inside Sales Summit. I see you just wrote an article about using technologies for professional relationships. Mm-hmm. We got something to talk about. It just gives you a much more robust...
Well, and I like to think that our friend Buzz Brueggemann used Gist to decide who he was going to hook you up with in Minneapolis when he did do that. And
And Buzz is a really good example. So Buzz runs ActiveWords, which is a great, great productivity tool. And so he's essentially a small business guy, and a very good product and a good loyal user base. And so, you know, he represents an absolute target for Gist. Buzz has a lot of relationships. He has a lot of customer relationships. He has a lot of influencer relationships.
He's a personal friend of Robert Scoble's.
Actually a very well-connected guy.
Yeah, oh, he
and
is.
So he uses Gist not only for his business relationships, customers and partners and whatever be, but also for the relationships that are important to him and people that are publishing relevant stuff to him. So ActiveWords is very relevant to the whole David Allen and GTD kind of getting things done type thing. So things that are being published by David Allen and by that discipline are very relevant to us. And so Gist can sort of distill that down and serve that up to allow a guy whose business is sort of built around that whole thing to be on top.
Well, a little shout out to Buzz. He is from International Falls, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, and has personally met Bob Dylan in Hibbing before he was even Bob Dylan. So anyway, Buzz is a fun guy. Well, Jen, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you're doing with some of the marketing programs with Gist right now, besides these wonderful events that you come to. What else is up?
Yeah. Sure. So I help run our social media program, and I actually use Gist to do that. I have a lot of contacts in my Gist account that I'm regularly you know, seeing what they're writing about, you know, seeing what their tweets are, seeing if there's stuff I can retweet, some good content to put out there, that kind of stuff. We use just to do that. Work a lot on events, which is why we're here, organizing events. A lot of blogger outreach. I do a lot of outreach to just various influencers in the industry, you know, reaching out, saying, you know, hey, can I get you a meeting with our CEO?
Sure.
Talk about just...
Connecting T.A. McCann all over the place. Huh?
Yeah,
the CEO.
So Jen's done a lot of good work and has kind of led the charge as we are ourselves using, you know, we not only work at Gist and we want everybody to use Gist, right, at www.gist.com, but we also use it for our own outreach because we do PR and we do sales and we do customer support, all good scenarios how Gist can be used. And so as Jen's talking about, you know, you can talk a little bit about how we've gone out and sort of targeted influencers across target segments, right? If you think about like Jill Conrath and Nancy Nard and some of the folks that are in the sales efficiency area.
So I basically went out and found a list of those type of people in sales and PR and real estate, whatever it may be, and basically took that list and uploaded it into Gist so that I can track those people every day. What are they talking about? What are they doing? What's important to them right now?
I hope all my PR colleagues are listening because I have not leveraged Gist that way yet, but I certainly will. It's a natural for that now that I think about it. So what other, Robert, tell us what other markets you're targeting. I mean, you know, sales is an obvious one. We just heard about PR. What other sort of professions or verticals or... How do you, I mean, this thing could be used by anybody.
Absolutely.
But,
right.
But how, you can't, it's hard to go out and just go after everybody.
Absolutely agreed.
So
it is.
What
very
do
much
do?
So from a marketing standpoint. so we started.
Thunder.
I know. This better be a good answer.
God is speaking.
So we sort of started and said, you know, the target user for Gist is any business professional who has relationships that are important to them. That could be anybody under the sun. So we've looked hard at sales, but then you can begin to parse that further, and then there's different dimensions of sales. There's certainly front-end sort of prospecting and account development, right, the classic inside sales model, where there's very little warmth of the relationship, all the way down where we've had have users using Gist for account management. So if I'm a big company and I have a premium set of accounts where I have senior account people assigned to it and I want to pay close attention to what's going on with those, we're being used there as well. So that's kind of on the sales continuum. Public relations is also a big, big area. Slightly different target, but essentially you're still selling, right?
If you think about, you're pitching.
Right. So a coverage pipeline is very much like a sales pipeline. And you know who your influencers are, and you know who you're trying to get close to and who you want to sort of, you know, spread your message to. And you know, PR is a lot about relationships, and it's a lot about content. And even something as simple as... assembling a briefing sheet, right? This is a traditional thing PR firms do. Robert Pease is about to sit down with Graham. Here's a summary of Graham. Here's what he looks like. Here's the last five things he wrote, right? Here's what makes him tick. And then there's a small amount around how to position my company or offering for you. Well, Gist can build 90% of that automatically. We have a feature called the dossier, right? You go in, you you basically press a button, and it renders a PDF that you can print, or you can share, you can attach in an email. And so this briefing sheet is a huge optimization piece for anybody doing PR that's trying to master social technology as well. We've got another segment I'll talk about a little bit is we've just actually started the conversations around here, deals with political campaigns.
Oh, sure.
So here we are, we're running up against midterm elections in 2010. There's a lot of governor's races, there's, you know, House and Senate, and there's a lot of need for quickly parsing information, acting on information, a dimension of the business which is around influencers, right? But also response and speed. You know, we were having a conversation yesterday with one of the parties, Governors Campaigns Associations, right? And he was laying out, you know, 37 competitive governor's races this year. I've got all these primaries. I've got all these candidates. And they need something to make themselves faster and more responsive. To what's, you know, again being said, as well as reacting to what's being said. So that's fascinating. We're really looking forward to that. We're actually going to be at the Personal Democracy Forum, which is a gathering in New York in early June about how technology is used in politics. So it'll be an interesting thing. I think that we're trying to get a little more laser focused around particular groups and particularly how people can use Gist every day. And that group is, or that list of people is very long. But you know, mostly what we've done to get to this point is we just look at our users and we look at what they do. Sure. And they group, and there are a bunch of salespeople and there's a bunch of sort of PR people. We have a lot of recruiters, so people
yes.
that do staffing and recruiting for a
recruiting,
living.
Recruiting, sure.
So think about the same thing with the dossier there, which is I'm about to sit down and have an interview with Graham. I really need to know everything about him and his company, because preparation for interviews is absolutely directly correlated to success of hiring.
Sure, LinkedIn's not enough. You got to have more.
Well, LinkedIn is one information source, mm-hmm. and LinkedIn right. is your version of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are all these other places where you maybe have versions of you, but also, mm-hmm. you know, LinkedIn's not necessarily going to tell me that, you know, the local Minneapolis Business Journal just did a profile of you. Right, unless you share that, right? So
right.
What happens is I can bring all that information together.
Right.
And so instead of sitting down with you and saying, well, what do you do or what's new with you,
mm-hmm.
I sort of already have this context.
Exactly.
Right? I'll go back to that word again, right? Context to have a much more informed and valuable, for both of us,
sure.
Type of
sure.
engagement.
Sure. Tell us a little bit about the size of the company. How many people do you have now?
So we're based out of Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. And have brought you our Seattle weather here to Minneapolis. we're about 20 people.
Okay.
And
you've really just been going since the funding, what, a year and a half or 2 years at the most, since you got funded,
so
right?
So we raised our A round in May of last year.
Okay, so just a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, the company, where it started from, goes back to one of your first questions. So it actually was conceived and sort of proven out inside Vulcan Capital, which is where T.A. McCann, the founder of Gist, was sort of serving in an entrepreneur in residence role. So Vulcan is Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen's investment company. And so what we were doing there, what T.A. was doing there, was sort of quick prototyping in some areas. And again, goes back to what we were talking about before we started recording here. You know, messaging and email is fundamentally broken, right, for the individual. It's solid in terms of transport and archiving and retention and all these other things.
Yeah, sure.
So what's the opportunity for the individual? So that's where we sort of started out in terms of how you take information that's flowing around out there, engagement and interaction, and kind of make it a little different experience. So, you know, and that's when the team was very, very small. And then, as I said, we raised some investment dollars from Foundry Group, led that investment out of Boulder,
mm-hmm.
Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And Vulcan, definitely a participant in that as well. So we've got mm-hmm. an outstanding group of investors, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a very strong team. We are hiring.
Yeah, I see you're looking for developers.
We are.
And you probably want them all there in Seattle. Or are you virtual at all yet with any people located?
We have a very... they need to be local. We do have some other folks helping us that maybe aren't. But the reason I say that is that from day one, we have been on this sort of agile development approach. So what we've done is every 2 weeks we release, right? And we've done that since our inception. And there's a wonderful blog post that one of our developers wrote about how we do this, a guy named Eric Arts, and he talks about sprint planning. Right, and what sprint planning is, and you get together and we talk about all the feedback we've gotten, we talk about all the things we want to do, all the platform opportunities, mm-hmm. And it's a very sort of empowered setup where the developer is literally owning, you know, real product decisions, right? So they can innovate, they can apply their expertise, they
mm-hmm.
can you know, bend their brains a little bit around really hard problems,
mm-hmm.
And do that. And so that's the rhythm that we're on. So what we've been able to do is someone will say, wow, I really wish just did this. You know, and we can turn that feature sometimes even faster than 2 weeks.
Wow.
Right? And so we've built a good rhythm in, which is to, you know, to be responsive and be reactive. So long answer to the question about where we're located, but because we have a very collaborative environment.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we have every 3 days a week. Right. We do stand-ups, and those are at 10 a.m. and they are highly efficient. You know, they're 20 minutes long. 30 minutes tops. Everybody goes around the room and talks about briefly what they're working on, where they have blocking elements, what they need help on, and it's a very development-centric. But then as we map marketing efforts to that, and you think about agile marketing and how agile marketing has to be integrated to agile development, you know, then it helps us sort of tune our outreach activities, and
mm-hmm.
we know we're going to have, you know, a new capability. Like I said, we got a new iPhone app version coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So we've built that. We've tested it internally. That's submitted mm-hmm. to the Apple folks. We'll get to turn on that pretty quick. Once we get that, then there's a whole series of things we need to do to spread that message and push
mm-hmm.
that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get in this really nice cadence
across
all the different places.
Is it basically just the two of you in the marketing group then, or are there more than that?
So the way we're structured is we have myself, that sort of leads the group, Greg Meyer, who is our customer experience manager.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned Greg.
He's part of my team. And so Greg is a fabulous guy, Greg at GIST.com. If you're a GIST user and need some help, he's there to help. So we set up a customer experience function, which is a little bit support, kind of a little bit marketing and a little bit sales, but ultimately what he is the sort of the tip of the spear to help people get up and running and be successful.
Cool.
And customer experience is a big part of what we're all about.
Oh, yeah.
We also, Jen works on a lot of the programs and the events and the outreach type things, a lot of the social media stuff. You know, we've prided ourselves on using a lot of new technologies and new ways to reach our customers.
Sure.
And then we also have a guy that's doing, Shane, who's doing kind of more of the online marketing piece.
Sure.
Right? And so this is a lot to do with our web presence and, you know, he's not 100% designer and he's not 100% developer. He does a little bit of all of that, but he's a very engaging and very active online guy.
Well, it sounds like a great team, and it looks like you're in some pretty nice digs in Seattle, too. What part of town is this now?
So we're just off Pioneer Square, which is in downtown Seattle, kind of that old historic area. We sit on the sixth floor of a building that's called the FX McCrory's building, I think, So there's a pub downstairs. So if anybody's ever in Seattle, please come by. We'll have a few beers together.
There's three coffee shops within a block.
And Michael Arrington might even be there.
Well, you know, again, we talked a little bit about that. I'm glad that Arrington is going to be coming to Seattle and then spending some time there. Great technology community, a great startup community. They're a great place to start a company and a very collaborative set of people that are willing to help and connect you where you need to go.
I think I read on that Seattle 2.0 site there's more than 300 startups active now and kind of in the internet IT space
very,
out there.
Very, very active startup community there. And everything under the sun from doing really complex things, right, around big ideas and big complex systems to not any less hard, but a little more focused in terms of, iPhone apps and some of the things. So, great community of innovators, great community of engineers, great sort of ecosystem of places for people to get together and to share ideas. And, you mentioned the Seattle 2.0 thing, which is a fabulous organization that puts on events and puts on gatherings. And even, we have the Seattle Tech Startups email distribution.
TechStars just started up too.
And TechStars is coming up as well.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. So Dave Cohen's group TechStars. So there's just a lot of good reasons to make Seattle a place if you're interested in starting a company.
Absolutely. Yeah, and some good VCs based there too.
Yep,
so
for sure.
Well, it's exciting. Well, I'm really glad that you guys came to town. We had a chance to get together because unfortunately I don't get out there too often. But I'm sure going to want to now that I'm hearing so many great things. So thanks a lot, Robert.
Oh, yeah, thank you for the time.
And Jen?
Thank you, Graham.
Happy baby come September.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I hope you guys have a great flight back, and we'll meet soon, if not at an event, maybe in Seattle.
Yeah, that'll be outstanding.
Okay, right. See ya.